Turn with me, if you wish to follow along, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. The verse that I have as my text is no doubt familiar to many people. I'm sure not as familiar as John 3:16 is. But I know that the verse I'm going to read is familiar, especially to people who have pulled up to a gas station to pump gas or went into a rest stop to use the facilities and you find some little so-called soul-winning tract. This verse you will often find on some of them. Here it is, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Sadly, this verse is generally used to try to persuade men and women that God Almighty has promised all without exception salvation if they repent.
Right.
Now, if all men would truly repent, all men would truly be saved.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And the scripture is quite clear. Paul was clear. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. But this repentance spoken of here is in connection to the promise of God.
Yes, sir.
You see that? And this verse is often used totally out of context.
Yeah.
Because Peter says, look at it, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He's talking here about one of the many plenteous promises. That's the promise of His second advent.
Yes, sir.
That He is coming back. And why did He say He was coming back?
Yeah.
John 14 gives us the answer. I'm coming back to get you,
amen,
my people.
That's right.
And He goes on to say later, and to judge the world, which is what Peter goes on to here. And we look for that day.
Amen.
The Lord is not slack concerning His promise to come again and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, we can always be with Him. That's what He's talking about. As some men count slackness. Men often, especially in our society, we want it now.
Yeah.
We want it now. And it's been 2,000 years since our Lord made that promise. But it's still right on schedule.
Amen.
It's still right on schedule, even though 2,000 years have passed. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to who?
Yeah.
Usward.
Amen.
Usward. Who is that? Verse 8, but beloved.
Amen.
That's who the usward are.
Yes, sir.
Who are the beloved? Read throughout this book, the beloved are those that God set His love on in Christ before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
That does not include every man, woman, boy, and girl. It just does not. I'm not here to argue that. It does not. But is long-suffering to who? Usward. Not willing that any should perish. Any who? Usward.
Amen.
The beloved.
Yeah.
Not willing. Men are, even theologians, was that the stronger word for will or the weaker word for will? It doesn't matter. It is the, what men call the strong. But God has no wishes.
Exactly.
God has never wished for anything.
There you go. That's right.
What God wills, God will have.
Amen.
Yes.
That's who God is.
That's exactly right.
That's not debatable. We're not here to try. I'm not here to try to prove that. This whole book proves it.
Yes, sir.
In word.
Yes.
Not willing, that is not purposing,
yeah,
that any should perish, but that all, every single one of these people He's talking about, but yeah, that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
There are those that accuse us, well, you believe in that election, so you believe a man just, if he's elect, just goes to heaven no matter what. No, that's not what this teaches. And that's not what we teach.
Exactly.
Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance.
Amen.
So there is my text for this morning. My title is found there. God's promise. Peter writes it, his promise. The his is God. God's promise. I'm going to try to give you three things. In this passage are two great subjects, and I will not be able to deal with them in depth, but one is promise. God's promises. The other is repentance.
Yes,
and here we clearly see that both are vitally joined together.
Amen.
If you do not repent, if I do not repent, if any man or woman, any boy or girl does not repent, they will perish.
Amen.
All who do repent will not perish.
Amen.
But I also know this. There are some, and I'm not going to try to explain this. People have tried to explain it away or whatever. There are some who have sought after repentance. And even carefully with tears. And could not find it.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. It amazes me how people always look for some kind of answer to that.
Yes.
Just take it for what it says.
Amen.
Yes, repentance is not gained by any person's personal actions to lay hold of it.
No, that's right.
As we will see, repentance is granted, repentance is given, men are called to it, it is wrought of God.
Amen.
Repentance is your act wrought by God in mercy and grace.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So first of all, God's promises, because there are plenteous promises.
Yes, sir.
God's promises are absolute.
Yes.
They're absolute. If you and I were to start taking a list of God's promises, we would probably, because of our fallen nature, we would categorize some as great, some as large, some as small, or maybe insignificant. But that's wrong.
You're right.
Because the God who cannot lie, when he promises something, he swears on it.
Amen.
You remember what it says? When God made promise to Abraham, look in the book of Hebrews. When God made promise to Hebrews, to Abraham, he said, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, I will.
Amen.
And that's what the promise of God is.
Exactly.
No matter what it is.
Yeah, that's right.
No matter what it is. In the scripture, some things are called promises. The word is associated with the thing.
Yeah.
For instance, we read in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, that the apostle Paul says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie.
Amen.
So you see, when God promises something, it's not about God wishing something, it's about God declaring something.
Amen.
In absolute verity, in absolute truth. In God who cannot lie, promised before the world began.
Amen.
So somebody's got to have it.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Now my only hope is that I'm one of that number. And anyone else's only hope is that you are one of that number.
Amen.
But there are other things in Scripture that are promises that are not called promises. They're not associated with the word. For instance, and here is one that most people probably do not think of as a promise. They probably think of it more as some kind of threat. But God never threatens.
No,
did you know
that's
that?
Right. You're right.
God doesn't. I used to have to threaten my children.
Oh, yeah.
God promises things.
Yes, sir.
And Mason, some of them are negative.
Yeah.
But they always have a positive part to it. Here's one of those promises. Vengeance is mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a statement of ownership of vengeance.
Yeah, that's right.
Vengeance is mine. Mm-hmm. And that is given in light of you don't take vengeance for yourself.
That's right.
To the people of God.
Exactly.
It's not up to, well, I'll get them back. Leave it alone.
There you go.
Now, we rarely do, probably. But leave it alone. Why? Because of this. Vengeance is mine. Here's the promise. I will repay.
Amen.
I'll take care of this, God says.
Yes, sir.
That's a promise.
Yeah.
He didn't have to say a promise. If God says it, it's a promise.
That's exactly right.
Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.
Amen.
So you see how they're both promises.
Sure. Yes, sir.
And they're both absolutely certain.
Amen.
We read another passage, Acts chapter 2, verse 33. The promise of the Holy Ghost. And most people think of this. Didn't that look stupid when I do that? That's what people are when they do that and call it the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, you're right.
The promise of the Holy Ghost is God Almighty, the Spirit of God Himself. God Himself coming to an individual and giving them life from above to where they begin to see the glory of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And rather than carrying on like some lunatic, they will find themselves bowing in the dust before Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
The promise of the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't matter whether in that promise it is talking about life or truth or repentance or conversion. Even our walk has God as its source.
Amen.
He's promised it. He's promised it. He said, it is God that worketh in you.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
It is that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
Folks, He promised He would do it. Take a deep breath and relax. He will.
Amen.
Now, will you fall along the way? Yes, you will. But you can fall no further than what God Almighty has ordained in His promise.
Amen.
That's the book. That's the teaching of Scripture. Here's another thing about God's promises. Remember, they're absolute. Remember what the prophet Isaiah said that God declares. He said, I've purposed it, I'll do it.
Yes.
Whether it's calling a ravenous bird from the east or the man that executeth my counsel from a far country.
Right.
I've said it, I'll do it.
Amen.
I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. And somebody says, that's the Jews. That's exactly right. That's the Jews. Who is a Jew?
Yeah.
Paul answers that question. A Jew is not which was one outwardly.
Yeah.
And circumcision is not that circumcision that we know of about the flesh. It's in here.
Amen.
It's in here. Here's a true Jew, a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, no matter what their background is. One that's born of God.
Amen.
God said, I promised it, I'll do it.
Amen.
Or he said, the word used, purpose. If God purposes something, that's a promise to us.
Yes, sir.
That's a promise to us. Here's another thing. God has a promise of a chosen people. Go back and read it for yourself sometime. Romans chapter 9, verses 8 through 13.
Yeah.
God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. At a set time. And God specifically set His love on that son of Abraham and not the other son of Abraham. Remember? Isaac, Ishmael.
Amen.
God says, my covenant will be with Isaac.
That's right.
Not with Ishmael.
Amen.
Even though Abraham cried out, Lord, I've got one in the hand. That's better than two in the bush. I've got one son. Lord, bless him. God said no.
Exactly.
Is that what the book teaches?
Yep. Yes, sir.
That's what the book teaches.
Yep.
My covenant will I establish with him, with Isaac.
Amen.
There's also the promise of Christ's return for his people. And that's actually our text.
Yeah.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What? The promise of his coming. Let men mock, and they will. And they do, but they always have.
Amen.
And they always will until it finally winds down.
Exactly.
Until it finally. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, God, I want to be in that group.
Exactly.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you? Now, if you don't, anybody don't, then what I'm saying doesn't matter to you at all. Doesn't matter at all. You see, God's promises is God's will, God's desire, and it's absolute.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't just make a bunch of promises and then hope the majority sticks. Yes. Not one good word of His promises shall fail.
Amen.
There may not be a direct quote of Scripture, but that's what it says. Not one word.
Yeah.
David, he don't even have to later change the wording of it. What he promised before the world was will come to pass exactly, precisely as God has ordained.
Amen.
That gives me comfort, doesn't it, you?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
People so despise the sovereignty of God. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
At one time, God help me, I so despised the sovereignty of God. But it is the bulwark of true faith.
Yes, sir.
It is. And I'll show you that. I'll show you that. But before we get there, think of this. Here's number two. God's long suffering is joined. His long suffering is joined with the promise.
Amen.
Look at what He put up with in you and from you.
Oh, yeah.
Even before He saved you. That He kept you safe, that He nourished you, He fed you, He let you keep your mind.
Yes, sir.
He could have took your mind from you.
Oh, yeah.
Could have took my mind from me. How often was I at death's door? But it had no knob.
Yeah.
Because it was not the time.
That's it.
Because God Almighty was long-suffering with
sir.
Me. The very word cries out, I'm bad. He's good. Does it not?
That's right.
Long suffering.
Yes, sir.
He's not long suffering because we repent.
No.
The long suffering precedes the repentance.
Amen. That's right.
Do you see that?
Yeah. Right.
Do you understand that? Do you gotta get a dose of that?
Exactly.
This is what meant, well, you know. I repented and God's long, now God's long suffering with me. If you repented, God's been long suffering with you from the get-go.
Exactly right. Yeah.
From the get-go. God's long suffering is joined with the promise. Thank God. A couple things here. This long suffering is to usward. Mark it down.
Yes, sir.
There are two groups of people in this world. The uswards, the beloved, and all the rest.
Exactly.
And I don't need to get theological. No. There are two groups of people in this world. Those God loves.
Yeah.
And dare I say it? Yes, I dare. Those God hates.
Yes,
your, my hope and your hope, our only hope, is we're on the loved side.
Amen.
Because I'm here to tell you, you think God loves you, you don't know that. You think somebody tell you, well, God loves you. God loves everybody. I had a man used to tell me that every morning he would see me. Until I finally told him, no, God doesn't.
Exactly.
I said, do you think if you'd have walked up to little Esau's mother and said, God loves you, little boy, would you have been telling the truth? And he actually said, well, no. I said, then why are you walking around telling everybody God loves them? How do you know?
That's right.
What if they're an Esau?
There you go.
What if they're an Esau? Oh, God, give us ears to hear truth, not just doctrine. Truth!
There you go.
There are two kinds of people in this world, those God loves and those God hates. I want to be on the love side.
Amen.
But I don't deserve to be on the love side.
That's it.
I am truly not upset now when I hear God hates some people because I know I deserve to be hated of God and cast into the pit and black darkness away from all that's good and glorious forever.
Amen.
But there's a group of people, and it's a massive group of people. It's not just a little handful. It's a number that no man can number out of their tribe, people, kindred, nation, tongue, that God Almighty loves,
yes,
has redeemed in His Son, and is calling them to repentance.
Right.
Repentance. Secondly here, God's long-suffering is joined with the promise. The long-suffering by default, as I said, decries our sinfulness. Does it not? Do not think God loves you because you're good. He loves you in spite of yourself.
Exactly.
If He does love you.
Yeah.
He loves you. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So there are some, Peter's talking about, that's not yet come to repentance, but God still loves them.
Yes,
and is long-suffering toward them. Oh, God. I started to say, put me in that group. You're either in that group or you're not.
Right,
oh,
right.
God, show me which group I'm in.
Amen.
Huh? Show me which group I'm in. The group that is loved are no better than the ones that are hated.
Yeah.
Now, mark that down.
That's right.
The children, neither having done any good or evil, even before they were born, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. It was said, the elder shall serve the younger, as is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated.
Amen.
By default. Consider God's long-suffering. Go back and look at sometime. Exodus chapter 34, verses 4 through 9. Think of all that Israel did. God delivered them with a mighty deliverance. Did He not?
Yeah.
10 great plagues fell on Egypt, and the last one, now listen, I mean to say it this way, the last plague, not God, the last plague was a monster.
There you go.
Was it not?
Yes, sir.
It was a monster. Every firstborn in every family, human or beast, where there was no first lamb blood shed and spread. Every firstborn in every home, person or beast, died.
That's what it said.
Died.
Amen.
Infant, Joe, all the way up to full grown.
That's right.
Where there was no blood.
Exactly
died.
Right.
Died. Hmm. God delivered these people.
Yeah.
And within days they were standing at the Red Sea. And begin to murmur.
Yep, that's exactly right.
That's me.
Yep. Amen.
Yep.
You're right.
And that's you.
Right.
I love you. But that's us.
Exactly.
That's us. Right. But you know what? Even while they were bellyaching, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? It says that the cloud that was in front of them that led them right up to that barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Egyptians were bearing down hot and heavy behind them. God, in that cloud, moved and went around behind them.
That's right.
And stood between them and the Egyptians.
Amen.
He was indeed their reward. You know what that means? Their rear guard.
Right. Yes, sir.
Their rear guard.
Exactly.
And then He parted the sea in front of them.
That's right.
And they walked across. What did they do days later? Same thing we do. Little difficulty comes. Look what they've been through.
Yeah.
Little difficulty comes along. And what do we do?
Come
on now.
Bellyache.
Bellyache. And yet God was with them all the way. Thousands died off.
Yeah.
Did they not? Why? The scripture tells us, the book of Hebrews, because of unbelief.
Amen.
Unbelief. Yet God was with that people. Was He not? Was He not? He was with that people. How long suffering is God before He saved us? Ah, but even after He saves us.
Yes, sir.
You see, repentance is not a one-time act. It's a lifelong engagement.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, you hear a lot of people, I repented.
Yeah.
And now they think they're good folk. No, you're still just as evil and rotten and sinful as you ever was, and you will need to repent the rest of your physical days.
Amen.
And that's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
Because a lot of people have made those decisions. They have repented, put that in quotes, and it's always a past thing.
Yeah.
One preacher put it this way, even my repentance has to be repented of.
Exactly.
And that's not a joke. My repentance is so unworthy of His merit,
right,
and His grace. It doesn't earn it for me.
Exactly.
Repentance isn't how you get God to be gracious to you. You repent because He has been gracious to you. How long-suffering is God before He saved us and after He saved us? Our text tells us. Our text tells us. And He tells us why He's so long-suffering, so that not a one of us that are beloved will perish. Isn't that what it says? The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long suffering. And it ought to be long suffering. That's the way the word's meant to be.
Yeah.
It's not just a little, Joe, aren't you glad God just had a little spurt of suffering? It's not short suffering, it's long. How long? As long as it takes.
Exactly.
As long as it takes. I want to be a part of that group, don't you? I want to be a part of that group. Here's the third thing. God's will, that is His purpose. Somebody says, I'm not so sure about that. Well, you're wrong. You need to bow down on your face and say, God, open my eyes because I'm blind. God's will, that's God's purpose, is the salvation of the elect. They will not perish. Why? Not just because they're elect. That all should come to repentance. You see it? Now, because they are the elect, they shall not perish.
You're right.
But they shall not perish because they will what? They will come to repentance.
Amen.
Where repentance never happens, there never was any election.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? Where there is no repentance manifested in time, there was no election in eternity. God's will, His purpose, is the salvation of His elect, that all should come to repentance. But one thing, let us get one thing right here this morning. One thing brings people to repentance. You know, most people don't know that. And even if they know that, they think of the wrong thing. Most people think the way to get people to repent is what?
Yeah.
Hell. Hammer on them.
There you go.
Scare the hell out of them.
There you go.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Threaten them with judgment and damnation.
Right?
Is that not what thousands of preachers are probably doing this very morning behind podiums just very similar to this one? Mm-hmm. Trying to threaten them? Oh, we'll get them to repent. My children, years ago, never repented, and still haven't yet, no matter how much I threatened them. Do you know that? Do you know that? I was told once, well, your kids obey only when you're around. That's sad, but it's true. I could make a mind when I was there because they knew what for was a-coming. And my children knew, whether I was right or wrong in all of my ways, that's not the point. That's not what I'm talking about here. My children knew this. When I said, do, I said it how many times? I said it once. If they did not do, they got the negative consequences. They knew that. Therefore, when I was there, they did that. But when I was not there, they did not. You know what that's a sign of? My failure? Possibly. But it's a sign of our inward corruption.
Yes, sir.
Repentance is a joyous thing.
Yes.
Though the experience of it is not.
There you go.
You hear what I'm saying? I say it again. Repentance is a joyous thing, though the experience of it is not. But what is one thing that leads men to repentance? Paul says it in Romans. Go back and read it sometime. Romans 2, 1 through 4. It is the goodness of God that leadeth thee. How do you lead something? You got a leash or a stick. Huh? It's the goodness of God that what leadeth thee to repentance. And sadly, we by nature are so corrupt, we even corrupt that goodness. We think of the wrong thing. We think, well, God gives me two cars, like you talked about, Joe. God gives me good health. That'll bring you to repentance. No, it will not. No, it will not. You want to talk about the goodness of God? Go back again. Exodus chapter 33, specifically verses 12 through 23, and look at what it is. Moses said, God, if you don't go with us, do not lead us up. You know what he said? God, if you're not with us, don't take us on this journey. If you're not with us. God said some words to Moses. He said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. You know what God said? I will. I will cause all my goodness to pass before thee. And he said, you will not see my face. Isn't that odd?
Yeah.
God is spirit.
Exactly.
Right? But you'll see my back parts. Go back and look at it. Go back and look at it. What's he talking? Where is God's goodness at? It's in his features.
That's right.
His what? Human features. Where are his human features?
Yeah.
In the person of Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen.
If the person and work of Jesus of Nazareth doesn't lead you to repentance, you've never repented. If some preacher has threatened you with hell, has threatened you with some kind of divine retribution, and you made some decision and quit committing certain sins, that's not the repentance associated with the promise and the long suffering that the Bible talks about.
You're right.
It's just not.
Exactly.
A repentance that is wrought by threatening is not godly repentance. Giving up certain sins because you think it'll get you to glory is not godly repentance. There are many immoral man and woman that is in hell today. Do you hear what I said? There is many immoral man and woman in hell today. You remember what the man in hell said? Send somebody back. Send somebody back. Tell them. Warn them not to come to this place. How many thousands have been and still go? Right? Still go. What did finally, when it boiled all down, what did Father Abraham say? They have Moses. You got your five brothers. Wasn't that what? Five brothers. You got them five brothers. I know you're concerned about them. They have Moses and the prophets.
Exactly.
Let them hear them. Now, who does Moses and the prophets talk about?
Amen. That's it.
Jesus Christ, this book says.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with soul winning. There's nothing wrong with soul winning. If your desire is that a man or a woman, a boy or a girl's heart be won by the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you could talk with someone about the glories of who Christ is and what he's done, and they're won by that, they're led to repentance by that, they're won!
Yes, sir.
They're won! But if you threaten them with hell and tell them if they'll just come forward and make a profession of faith, change their ways, start living a little better, you might have won them. But they're not won to Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Winning a soul is not about pigeonholing them about their sins. It's about expounding unto them from the scriptures the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, does that affect their life or not? That's where it stands. Does that work a change in them or not? That's where it stands. Because first of all, repentance is not quitting doing bad things. Repentance is toward God.
Yes, that's it. Amen.
Paul, you remember that group of heathen that thought Paul was a god when that snake bit him and shook it off in the fire? He said, here's what we do, fellas. Here's my whole, you want to define my missionary efforts. Here it is. We preach this. Repentance toward God.
Amen.
And faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, by nature, you and I do not know God as he truly is. Our first problem is not our drinking and our smoking and our running around. Our first problem is we don't know God. Everybody thinks they know God. Their problem is they're drinking, they're smoking, and they're running around. Think about this. Adam had nothing to drink and nothing to smoke and no other women to run around with.
There you go. That's right.
And he fell the greatest fall ever.
Yes, sir.
Did he not? Yes, sir. There were no bars for him to hang out in, were there?
No. Huh?
You're right. No naked joints to go to. Was there?
No.
I started to say no marijuana, but maybe there was some back then. I don't know. Now, I know we'll probably get mail on that one right there. But you understand what I'm talking about? Adam's one sin was to do one thing that God said don't do. Everything else you're free to partake of. Isn't that what he said? Whatever it was, Mason, everything, don't eat of that fruit. And Adam said, I will. The one thing, Adam said, I will. That's your and our problem. That's our problem.
Sir.
We still say that every day of our lives by nature. I will. I will have what God said I can't have.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But in the end, everyone is getting what God willed to be done. You remember what Peter said? Look at it. Chapter 2. Look at it. Chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations.
Amen.
And then look at the man he's talking about there.
Yeah.
Lot.
That's right.
I'll chew on that for a while. But look, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And look, don't ever look at 2 Peter 3:9 as God's trying his best to get everybody to repent. Look, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Yes or no? That's what this says, does it not? This is the same Peter that wrote chapter 3, verse 9.
Exactly.
Has he changed his mind now? No, he's still talking about the same thing. Two types of people, just, unjust. Oh God, make me just.
Yes, sir.
Make me just. Hear Paul. Hear what Paul says. Turn to Titus. Chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And it has.
Yes, sir.
Every kind. There is not a race of people on the face of this earth that hasn't heard the gospel.
That's right.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, excuse me, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's what the grace of God teaches you if it's ever come to you.
Yes, sir.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, heavy after, zealous, heavy after good works.
Yes,
these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Don't let anybody look down on you because of it.
That's right.
You know what he says? Let no man despise thee.
Amen.
Hear me now. If you never repent, you will perish.
That's what it
said. If you ever repent, you will never cease to repent.
Amen.
Not if you were truly brought to it by God. You see, think about it. Godly sorrow for sin precedes repentance. Now I want you to turn back to 2 Corinthians. And let's just look at a couple things here. Now we're looking at repentance in particular. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Godly sorrow for sin precedes repentance. Most people think, I'm sorry about what I did.
Yeah.
They think that's repentance. Do they not?
Yeah.
They're taught that. If you're sorry for your sins, come up here. Right? Pray the prayer. And they say, that's repentance. That's not repentance. Look at what it says now. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, starting verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. He had good news when he got here about you. That's what he's talking about. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Let me tell you something. A repenting people love one another.
Amen.
Do they not?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, when you're a repenting person, it's nice to be around another repenting person.
Exactly.
When you're a repenting person, it's not easy to be around a self-righteous person.
There you go. That's right.
Now, is it?
God
help us not to be self-righteous people.
Yeah.
For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not changed my mind.
Exactly.
Though I did repent.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I thought about it for a while, but he said, no. I stand my guns. I stay where I'm at.
Yeah.
For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Mm-hmm. Look. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry. Now, he's not saying, I wish you'd never been sorry. No, that's not what he said, does he?
That's not why.
Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance.
Yes.
In other words, this was a real sorrow.
Exactly.
It was real. It was genuine. It was true. And the vast thousands, sad to say, the vast thousands that will walk aisles this Sunday morning don't have that kind of sorrow.
You're right.
They'll go right back out within days, weeks at least. They'll be right back at it where they were. And then most everybody tries, so they preserve their own ministry. Well, you were saved, now you got lost again. That's anti-Christ religion. Look at what he says. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner. That don't mean he was real righteous about this thing. No, it means God Almighty worked this thing in you.
Exactly. Yeah.
That ye might receive damage by us in nothing. When you're a real bona fide sinner, and God Almighty brings you to that place of sorrow, you're not going to get ticked off when the preacher exposes you.
You're right. That's it.
You understand that?
That's exactly right.
If you get ticked off and leave because the preacher exposed you, then you're not made sorrow after a godly manner.
Right, exactly.
And that's just a fact. We've had many leave. We've had many leave this place because somebody got exposed. And I'm not talking about personally exposing you. You don't even have to be, I don't have to call your name and spell out a sin. Just get up here and hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
And when somebody's not made sorry after a godly manner, out the door they will go and they will not be back. Look, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. And here it is, to salvation. That's the kind, Mason, I need.
Exactly.
You see it? That's the kind I need. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. And then look, not to be repented of.
Amen.
A man or a woman that's ever been through this never regrets having been through this.
Exactly. Amen.
You never look back and say, boy, I wish I'd never repented. If you ever have, you've never repented after this matter.
You're right. Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, there are some who, they went forward, they did their repenting, they prayed through, all. You know what I'm saying? They do all of this, and then a week later, they say, well, I wish I hadn't even done that now. I can't have fun now.
Exactly. Okay.
I'll tell you what, since God Almighty brought me to repentance, I've had more fun in my life than I ever had before.
There you go.
Because it's real fun.
Exactly.
It's free fun.
Amen.
It's fun and liberty.
Yeah.
And this world don't get that.
Exactly.
If I told them what I'd just been doing last week, they'd probably really be. We won't go there, people. That might be on TV, it might not. Look, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world. Oh, look what all I left behind. That's death. It's death. You see, that kind of repentance means nothing. Nothing. If you'd rather be back there, you might as well go. Now, I've said things like that, but you know, if you don't like it here, there's the door. That's what Paul's talking. That's what you'll do.
Exactly.
I'm just telling you what you're going to do anyway.
Exactly.
But if you love it, you can't get away from it. Even if you leave that door, God won't let you go. You'd be like Jonah.
Uh-huh.
fleeing from the presence of the Lord, and you'll run right smack dab into him.
Exactly.
Won't you? Huh? You'll find your ship to get away from him, and you don't realize that's God's ship. That's God's ship. And you'll say, well, I don't want to be in this storm. But you'll find out that's God's storm. I don't like being around these men. Well, those are God's men. Hmm? I don't like that big fish out there. That's God's fish. And he'll bring you back right to where you're supposed to be. I want to be one of those kind of people, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I would rather be a Jonah than an Esau any day.
Amen. Exactly.
What about you? What about you? You see, repentance leads to acknowledging the truth. It's what Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:24, that God may grant to them repentance to what? Not so they quit doing this and quit doing that. Right. There are certain things probably you're going to begin to quit. Yeah. Try to lay them to the side. Get rid of them. But that's not the first point. Repentance, what? To the acknowledging of the truth. Who is the truth?
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. You see, no God-wrought repentance is ever regretted.
Exactly.
Is it?
Amen.
If you've ever regretted any repentance you ever went through, then it wasn't God-wrought.
Exactly.
Even if you're a saved person.
Right.
If you thought, well, I'm going to make this right. I'm going to repent. And then later on, you go, boy, that was a disaster. That wasn't of God.
Exactly.
That was your flesh just trying to be religious. Exactly. Just trying to make yourself feel better about something you thought you wasn't supposed to be doing.
There you go.
But when God Almighty opened your eyes every time to see Christ, and you can say,
yeah.
That's what works repentance. Because I don't want to ever lose sight of that.
Exactly.
What about you? I don't want to ever lose sight of that.
Amen.
There's a lot of things, Paul Pendleton, there's a lot of things that I say, well, I'll never do that again. And I do.
You're right.
I do. But when I think that I've lost sight of Jesus Christ, Mason Lilly, that scares me more than anything in this world.
You're right.
Yeah. When I think, does my knowledge and love for him, is it real?
Yeah.
Joe, that scares me more than anything else in this world. Not things.
Yeah,
not
right.
Things. Him.
Amen.
Him. Repentance begins with proper thoughts about God.
Amen.
Paul told those idolatrous Thessalonians.
Yeah.
He says, here's proof of the ministry of the gospel in you. You turned to God from idols.
That's
do you
right.
see that? Most people are taught today, get rid of your idols and come to God. You'll never get to God.
Exactly.
Because you got pockets full of idols.
You're right.
You got a heart that you worship.
Yeah.
You got a life that you love.
Yes, sir.
Even if you wake up with a hangover the next morning, that next evening you go right back at it again.
There you go.
Huh? Why? Because we love those things. Don't try to get rid of those things first. Anybody, turn to God.
Amen.
And if that's truly God wrought, you will be turning from idols.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, you will be. It's no wonder Peter went on to write these words, and let's close it up. 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Because he talks about there's coming judgment, right? There's coming judgment. You could read the rest of it after verse 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, all that. Then in verse 14 it says, look, wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, may it happen today. Wouldn't that be glorious for God to wind this thing down today?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. That is the first thing.
There you go.
There's the first thing. Without spot and blameless. How are you going to do that?
There you go.
Only in Christ.
Amen.
Look, an account.
Yeah.
Account. Just, it don't matter how you see things with this, these eyes, or how you perceive them with your mind. An account. Just reckon it to be so.
Yeah.
An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Has he damned you yet? No, then he's long suffering to you. If you're one of these people,
yeah.
Oh, but I fouled up so miserably, I'm ashamed of myself. You ought to be.
Yeah.
You ought to be. But has God wiped Christ from your mind? No. No. That's his long suffering.
Amen.
Count that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath he written unto you, as also in all his epistles. Now think about it. Speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood. It ain't about understanding them. Just believe them.
Amen.
I can't figure out that election. It boggles my mind. Quit trying. It will boggle your mind.
Yeah.
Am I this kind of lapsarian or that kind of lapsarian? Quit it!
There you go.
It's hard to be understood. Why? And look what some people do. Which they that are unlearned and unstable, what do? They wrestle with it. Fight it. As they do also the other scriptures. It's no odd thing, Peter said. Unto their own destruction. Oh God, make me quit fighting against you and your word.
Exactly.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Because sometimes I do. Mason, I'll reach out there and I'll grab a bit of this book and this truth and I'll try to squeeze it and mold it into what I want it to be. Have you ever done that, even as a believer? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, help me not to rest it to my own destruction.
Exactly.
Help me to let go of it. It's like water. It'll find its own level.
Yes, sir.
It'll find its own level. And then just sit back and marvel at it.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Sit back and marvel at it. Father, oh, God, break us. Break us by your goodness. Break us by the message of your Son. In his name, amen.